Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio and encourage you to stay with us throughout the day and throughout the evening. We have some great programming here for you to encourage you in your walk, in your Christian walk, and to inform you on what's going on in our country and in our world, because, as I've said before, we don't need no more ignorant Christians.
Right. Now, or apathetic, just sitting back and you know, get active, folks. Get informed. We, you know, that's what AFA exists, to inform, equip, and activate. So get busy doing something good in our culture.
Those of you who are emailing me right now correcting my English, I know I got it wrong.
It's intentional.
But it was intentional.
Dramatic effect.
That's right. All right, we noticed this story. Todd Starnes reported on it in Texas involving a school in Killeen, where a principal informed one of her teachers that what could not happen there at the school.
Yeah, the teacher had a Charlie Brown poster up on her door, a Christmas Charlie Brown poster that mentioned a Christian
Bible
theme,
verse.
A Bible verse
from the Charlie Brown
from
TV
the
special.
Brown. Right, yeah, and so the principal said, "Pull that down." And, of course, the teacher pulled it down. But the teacher's not happy about this, understandably, because, you know, the question at hand is whether the principal has the authority to just remove all Christmas references in the school.
Right.
And some say he does, some say he doesn't.
We have a guest now who's going to talk about that, right?
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is on with us. Thank you for being on with us, Mr. Paxton.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. This is Tim, Attorney General, with Ed and Walker. Again, we appreciate you being on with us. Did we describe the situation in Killeen correctly?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's actually not a teacher to staffer. She put, I guess, a poster, a Linus poster up from Charlie Brown on the door of, I guess, the nurse's office, and it just said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So it came straight from the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and she was asked to either get rid of the religious reference or take it down, and she decided, since the religious reference was so important to the whole poster, that she'd just take it down.
So I guess without knowing the parties involved personally, I'm assuming that the principal would be concerned that this would somehow be a violation of church and state, is that what the principal stated?
Well, yeah, and I think you find that a lot in schools. My wife was a high school math teacher, and even as far back as when I was in law school in 1991, my wife was a teacher, and she was working on the Christmas program for the school that she was at, and the principal came in and said, "You can't have anything called Christmas. It has to be the winter program." And fortunately, I was in law school, and I advised my wife to go back and tell her that's not accurate, that you can have a Christmas program, and this woman, I think, has every right to put that poster up and leave it.
So you wrote a letter, or did you intervene in some way?
No, right now, we actually just put out a public statement that we were supportive of her right. You know, there are cases that go back to the 60s, one in particular called the Tinker case from the U.S. Supreme Court that says that teachers and students do not leave their First Amendment, their constitutional rights, at the door of the schoolhouse. So I believe the school board is meeting today. She's represented by counsel that is going to argue for her constitutional right to leave that in place. She wasn't imposing her views on any child or really anybody. She's just expressing her First Amendment free exercise rights that our founders put in place a long time ago.
Again, our guest is Ken Paxton, who's the Attorney General of the state of Texas. Mr. Paxton, you've released your opinion about what is legal in this situation. If the principal decides that she is going to ignore Texas state law and what you have said, and still demands that the let's say, just in a hypothetical case, that a principal kind of goes rogue and says, you know, we're going to do what we want to do here at this school, the law notwithstanding. What can the state do in an instance
well,
like that?
I think initially she'll be represented by counsel. My guess is that they would file a lawsuit, and it would be, in our opinion, a valid lawsuit to defend her First Amendment right. At that point, we'd have to figure out if we have standing, which we think we may, to intervene in that lawsuit on behalf of the petitioner, or at least file, in the end, file some kind of amicus brief if she ends up appealing any kind of decision. So we haven't gotten there yet because it's a new opening for us, but we're looking at our options right now.
You know what? This is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I can use a word, come on. Yeah. Hey, the nurse's station, has a scripture up from the Charlie Brown, which is what Christmas is really all about. It's a federal holiday.
Right.
It's a state holiday, too, I would guess, in most states, but it's a federal recognized holiday, December 25th, because it's the birthday of Jesus Christ, the founder of Western civilization. And just these ACLU types have gotten so, they've been emboldened the last 8 years, quite frankly, but they've distorted the whole, quote, separation of church and state, which is not mm-hmm. even in the Constitution,
right,
and twisted it so much that I think, Attorney General, that a lot of school administrators and probably counsel to school districts, they themselves may not be hostile to this. They may be Christians themselves. But they've been so brainwashed by this church and state stuff by the ACLU that they're scared that they're going to be sued by mm-hmm. the ACLU or somebody like that. So they just go overboard to exterminate anything that has any religious Christian connotation.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is exactly what happened with my wife in Virginia when she was teaching. It's a chilling effect. And the ACLU and these groups that are all about this, they're all about filing lawsuits or threatening lawsuits to scare people into thinking, well, maybe we're wrong, or maybe at the very least we don't want to spend the money to fight this. And so mm-hmm. oftentimes they'll back off. And what we're saying is you shouldn't back off, because
right.
if we keep backing off, if we don't fight this, then we will lose what we don't otherwise protect, even if it's in the Constitution. It'll be, even if it says that we have the right to free exercise, we'll end up in a position where we're not actually able to do it because everyone's afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody's forcing these children to memorize this Bible verse.
Right.
Or else get a failing grade or right. something like this. This is just...
It's on a Linus line. I mean, it's on a Charlie Brown Christmas special. I mean... Here we are arguing about whether boys can walk into a girl's bathroom, and this is the thing that we're concerned about. We're concerned about one scripture reference from a Charlie Brown Christmas special. I mean,
well,
to me, as you said, it's ridiculous, ludicrous.
Yeah, and what's going on in the broader culture is a purging. The secularists are trying to purge Christ from Christmas. And the reason for that is, we talked about this before, is because... they want to get rid of the connection from Christianity to America.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main focuses on Christianity every year is the Christmas season, because everybody knows it leads up to the birth of Jesus, and that's the reason it's a federal holiday. So if you can, you know, that's the reason they want to change it to winter celebration and mm-hmm. You want to get rid of the word because it reminds people about
right.
Jesus Christ. Well, Attorney General Paxton, go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to say how much I appreciate this woman not just backing off. So many people, I think, would just say, you know, it's just not worth the trouble.
Right.
My job may be at risk. It may limit my ability to stay in this job. And yet here you have a woman who's willing to stand up and say, you know what, this is worth me risking my career at this school for, because mm-hmm. this is about our freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Attorney General Paxton. We appreciate you being on American Family Radio.
Hey, y'all have a great day, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We need more people in office like him.
Absolutely, and he was right. Tip of the hat to this staff member, this nurse, because it is easy to just take the poster down and just
be quiet.
You know, you got Christmas coming up, your own personal Christmas celebration, and so it'd be very easy to say, I don't need this headache during this you know, Christmas season, yeah. and maybe I lose my job. But this, you know, people like this nurse, and the name of the nurse is Deidre Shannon. This is from the Todd Starnes story about what's going on in Killeen. And so she's a hero, too, because she's willing to stand up and fight for, it, as you said, it's ridiculous we got to fight for something like this. But this shows you the lengths to which secularists want to scrub Christianity from every area of public life.
Yeah.
For the time being, you Christians can do whatever you want within the four walls of your church.
Right.
But for this time, we want to scrub you from the public sphere. Then we'll come after you later.
Yeah, the federal government shuts down on December 25th, right?
They do. Yes. They do. Federal holiday.
It's a federal holiday. So I wonder how they send this out in a memo. Our offices will be closed on December 25th because of the birthday of you-know-who. So please be advised that we will return to work on the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
And please don't tell anyone
while we're doing this.
While we're doing this, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's our little secret.
You know what? What do they do on Thanksgiving? Because Thanksgiving was created to thank God for our blessings.
Right.
As Americans.
It's also a federal holiday.
It's also a federal
holiday. Well, if you're a secularist, you just declare your gratefulness to the impersonal life forces that have heretofore arranged your life in a totally
be impersonal and arranged
in a totally random way. Totally a random arrangement of your life for which you are very grateful to nobody in particular.
Marvin Sanders, my former colleague, he passed a few years ago, but Marvin used to say, most frustrating day of the year for atheists is Thanksgiving Day.
I can see that.
What did they do with it?
Yes.
You know, they get up that morning and everybody else is thanking God for their blessings, and they just don't know where to go with that. They want the turkey, you know. They want to, but they don't. They have nobody to thank, and yet they're going to celebrate the holiday they don't believe in.
Yeah.
So,
you know, your heart kind of there's 2% of my heart that goes out to the atheist for that Thanksgiving conundrum. You know, that difficult situation that the atheist is in on Thanksgiving. I got 2% of my heart that feels kind of sorry for him.
I was reading a story the other day about how atheists celebrate Christmas. It was funny. They were justifying, you know, basically they were barring the Christian holiday, but they were doing everything but worship Jesus.
Yeah.
But they were taking place in all the celebrations about the God that they don't believe in.
Well, they certainly don't go into work on Christmas Day if it's a holiday.
Do atheists?
They? Yeah. They
need a higher commitment level.
Yes.
They really do. Huh? The atheists. They need to go on into work on Christmas Day.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Walker Wildman with us. Walker, we have our guest.
Yes, we have Scott Lindsay with Faith Life Ministries, our most know Faith Life for their Logos Bible software. Hey, Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
Good deal.
Scott, thanks for being on with us. You in your home in your hometown there in Washington State?
We are in Bellingham. I'm looking out my office window. We got snow everywhere.
Really? Okay.
Yes, sir. I hate it.
you hate it. And I was just thinking I'd love to see some.
It's kind of like you grew up in New England, Ed, and I'm sure you got.
You realize
tired.
How long it's been since I've had a white Christmas?
Right, right. We had an inch about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know if that qualifies.
I grew up in New England.
Oh, did?
Where'd you grow up in New England?
Lowell, Massachusetts.
My mom's side of the family is from Lowell. My mom was Greek, large Greek population in Lowell.
That's awesome. I knew I like you for some reason.
and Scott, I like you as well.
It's getting kind of weird, but anyway, y'all are Y'all are family there.
Just about family. Somewhere
yeah. back there, y'all are family there. Hey, Scott, tell us about, we've got a promotional going on with you guys, telling our listeners about Logos Bible Software and what you guys have to offer. People are looking for ways to enhance their Bible study, especially with the new year ahead. Everything's new, and we're going to have an opportunity to start over, as it were, with the Bible study. Tell us about Logos, and then tell us what you guys got going on.
Well, honestly, I don't think there could be a better Christmas present for a family, for a spouse, than a biblical library to study the scriptures. And that's what we've been about for 26 years. So this is our 26th year. I think last time we counted, we're about 3 million users worldwide. Just very exciting things, even internationally. We've just released a Chinese library, Portuguese library. So we think this is an amazing opportunity to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and equip the body with digital resources. So I did want to address, you know, some people listening hearing the word digital or software, a little chill kind of runs up and down the spine. All we are books on your computer or your iPad or your Android or iPhone. So one of the benefits of Logos is that it's mobile. So literally in your back pocket, you always have your theological library. The other thing is how much time it saves. That's really the greatest benefit. So when you open Logos, there's a box up at the top that you type a passage or a topic. So John chapter 4 or atonement or Psalm 23 or marriage, you just type a topic or passage. When you click that one button, it literally does 50 to 60 hours worth of biblical research and Bible study in seconds, and opens hundreds of books right to the right page. So, you know, so much of our Bible study process is page flipping and looking and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that scares me as a parent, you know, I have 6 children, and I don't even know if you know this, Tim, yet, but Michelle and I started the ball rolling last week to adopt number 7.
Wow.
Is I want my kids excited about scriptures. And one of the great things about Logos is it makes the Bible come alive with visuals and videos. We have top-notch scholars. So literally right before your eyes, you're seeing the world of the Bible. You know, I don't want my kids going to Google to get biblical answers on things.
You,
I mean,
you got
granted,
that right.
Yeah, you know, there's wonderful ministries on the Internet. Your ministry's on the Internet. Some of my favorite preachers, teachers are on the Internet. But let's just be honest, that's not a safe place to get answers from God's Word. So we're a safe place. It's amazing what the tool does. You know, she's given me permission to say this, but I'm dear friends with Kay Arthur, and Kay said, Scott, you can announce from the rooftop that if Kay Arthur can use Logos Bible Software, there's not a single listener right now that can't use Logos Bible Software.
Yeah.
It really is that easy to use.
Okay, what about the special promotion we got going with American, you got going with us here at American Family Radio? Where can people go to get that?
Yeah, so we typically don't do many discounts because in our libraries, again, since we're packing those libraries with hundreds of the best biblical resources, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room because of royalties and things like that. But we're going ahead for our, because we love you guys, we're giving a discount to your listeners on Logos. And the good news is the brand new version of Logos just came out a couple months ago, Logos 7. And so if they go to this page, they'll get the discount. They'll see videos on how Logos would help them in their Bible study, endorsements from like Josh McDowell and others. I think you're going to give them some information on how to get there, or I could.
No, you can. That's why we had you on. That's why we had you on.
Make
your contribution. Go ahead.
I've done a few interviews, and sometimes they want to go to your homepage. What I'll have to do is go to Logos, Logos.com, and then /AFR.
That's important. That forward slash is important because that's where you get the AFR discount. So again, give that website address out again.
It's Logos, Logos.com /AFR. And the really good news too is when someone purchases Logos, it is for a single for a person. So, you know, a pastor and a staff, that would be, you know, X amount of copies. However, for a family And for a husband and wife, they're allowed to share actually a single package of logos. So once, you know, my wife and I bought it, she loaded it on her iPad and phone and computer, and I loaded it on mine, and we're able to do Bible study together, and we use it on the home. I mean, we homeschool, so we use it all the time for assignments and things. But, you know, I love it as a parent to see my kids want to pull me over to the computer to show me some amazing thing they've discovered in Logos. That's what I think every parent wants, is our young people excited about the scriptures. And Logos really does that for everybody.
Well, Scott, let me ask you a question that some listening out there might have. And by the way, I don't know if you know Teddy James, who is with Engage Magazine here, writes for the AFA Journal. He is your biggest fan around here in terms of Logos. He is always he's always coming to me and saying, hey, they got a new thing. So I already have Logos software on my computer. I don't know which version it is, but he was coming over and saying, you've got to get the latest one. And so if I were to get the latest one, is it like an update? I mean, does it lay down on top of what I've already gotten, or do I have to get rid of the old Logos and put the new one on? How does that work for people who might have a previous version?
Yeah, no, it just kind of, it's new technology on your books. I mean, the Bible stays the same. A lot of the greatest, honestly, some of the greatest theological works ever written were written a couple hundred years ago. So it's just laying new technology and functionality on top of that. The other thing is updates are free for life. And an update means, you know, technology changes, Windows, you know, changes, Mac, iOS, and things like that. So we're always keeping up with what's the latest in order to make it work good on your computer. So really the only thing that you pay for in the future is if you want to add more books. So you want to add David Jeremiah, or you want to add John MacArthur, or, again, your favorite theologian. We're at 100,000 books now in the Logos format. So there really is no brick wall you're going to hit with Logos as far as what you want to study, whether it be the biblical languages, archaeology. I mean, we have all that.
100,000 books in the library. You know, I've read 52,174 books. But I'm nowhere near 100,000.
And then you woke up.
And so yes, I've got 48,000 books just to catch up with where Logos is right now.
Hey, can I share something with you guys? I spent an hour with Woodrow Kroll last week. It was just an awesome opportunity. I flew my team in here. We're the national conference speaking team, and Woodrow was very gracious to give us an hour of his time. But he shared some pretty amazing, well, some pretty sad statistics on where Bible study is.
We got one minute, so depress us. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically what he said was, if someone spends just one time a week in the Bible, it really has no effect on their life. Two times a week, minimal. Three, you see a little spike. But at four times a week, if a Christian spends four times in the Bible a week, alcoholism drops 57%, gambling drops 74%, pornography drops 61%. So the point is, four times seems to be the number where we need to engage with God's Word.
Can you send us that statistic so we can put it on our Facebook page tomorrow or later?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Scott, thank you so much. Give the website again for people who want the discount you're offering for AFR listeners.
Logos.com/AFR.
Logos. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Tom.
Thank you.
Sir.
And Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Hey, no question after last night.
I just got about a discount.
Yeah. You just got free.
Yeah. See you later, Scott. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.